and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible.
Ladies and gentlemen. So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola, familia. Buenas noches. Una semana después volvemos a encontrarnos en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Soy Carlos Medina y reconozco que esta noche me va a costar resumirte lo que nos tiene preparado el guitarrista de Springsteen. Hablaremos de algunos de los inventos más icónicos que decoran el Underground Garage o, por ejemplo, del origen de una costumbre de lo más extendida en Estados Unidos, el autoservicio, pero además literal, como comprar cualquier cosa que te puedas imaginar sin bajarte del coche. Aunque bueno, concretamente me refiero al origen de los autocines. Pero vamos poco a poco. De momento le damos la bienvenida a Little Steven. Lo hacemos con música al ritmo de los Who. Comienza el Underground Garage de esta noche con la canción Call Me Lightning. Buenas noches, familia. Comenzamos.
Welcome to Fireworks a Go-Go, baby. We are in a celebrating summer mood. It's July 4th weekend, and that means California Surf Garage. And I tell you what we're going to start off with here. We get emails now and then saying it's cool you play all those instrumentals behind you while you're talking. And it's important that you guys keep the whole surf instrumental thing alive and all that. But you should play one every now and then in the actual set. So we're going to do that. And we're going to have a little fun and follow the evolution of a typical rock band of the 60s, who in the next three songs go from an instrumental group in 1963 to a garage band in 1964 to a group you know quite well with national hits in 1965, even though they were on a small local regional label, as so many of those garage bands were in those days. So here we go. Let's start with one of the coolest surf instrumentals ever, Fiberglass Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone. Mark Volman, and I'm Flo.
Hi, everyone. Howard Kalin. I must be Eddie.
We are the Turtles, but together we make up
Flo and Eddie. And you're with little Steven.
Where?
In the underground garage, of course.
It's dark in here.
I know. Attendant, attendant, get the Land Rover for me.
We've got all the fireworks we need right here.
Got me together with Marzoni. He He said if I helped him out, he'd make it worth my while. He said he'd make me head of the family.
You know I'd always take care of you.
You're my kid brother. You take care of me? I'm the oldest, Tony, and I was stepped over.
That was Pop's idea.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
You're a psychotic lunatic.
And I deserve respect for that!
Fireworks began with Call Me Lightning, fabulous little track from The Who, 1968, written by Pete and produced by Kit. The Crossfires started our first set with Fiberglass Jungle from 63, and like so many other instrumental bands after the Beatles arrived, they put down their saxophones and started singing, which led to the garage-erific One Potato, Two Potato of 64. And they got signed to a label with no name. It would become White Whale. And within 6 months, it'd have a top five national hit and go from playing to 500 drunks at the Revelair Club to 50,000 teenagers at the Rose Bowl opening for Herman's Hermits. Al Nickel, Chuck Ports, Don Murray, Jim Tucker, Howard Kaplan, soon to be Kalen, and Mark Volman would change their name to the Turtles and have like 10 big hits. Exactly 9 more than your typical successful garage band. An outside chance really wasn't one of them. One of their best, though. Co-written by Warren Zevon and Glenn Crocker. And produced by Bones Howe in 1966.
Brand New Love from New Mystery Girl. Out of Austin, Texas. Chrissy Flatt writing it and singing. Frenchie Smith producing. The album is Crawl Through Your Hair. Get it from newmysterygirl.com. The Monkees with Birth of an Accidental Hipster. Yes, they have reunited. 3 out of 4 of them. Davey no longer with us. The album is Good Times. That track written by Noel Gallagher and Paul Weller. And Adam Schlesinger producing. You have heard the expression, I want to take you higher. When we come back, we will do just that.
Fíjese en Rock FM en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche tenemos por delante un programa, por qué no decirlo, extravagante. Uno de los protagonistas del show es Larry Walters, mejor conocido por su apodo, Launcher Larry. Para situar la historia, te propongo que nos remontemos a California a principios de los años 80. El señor Larry Walters tenía un sueño desde que era un niño, volar. Hasta aquí todo correcto. Quiso ser piloto, pero su vista no respondía a los requisitos para obtener una licencia. Años después recordó una idea que tuvo siendo chaval, volar por medio de grandes globos meteorológicos inflados de helio. Sí, por ahí van los tiros, inflados de helio. Walter se hizo con 45 de estos globos y un tanque de helio. Ató estos globos a su mecedora, se cargó de sándwiches, refrescos, una radio, una cámara y una pistola de aire comprimido. Ahora bien, también fue precavido y se puso un paracaídas. Cuando todo estuvo bien dispuesto, sus amigos cortaron la cuerda que lo mantenía fijado al suelo de su jardín y empezó a elevarse. Alcanzó rápidamente los 4.600 metros y recorrió Long Beach en dirección al aeropuerto. Resumiendo, estuvo 45 minutos en el aire y al aterrizar, después de disparar con la pistola de aire a varios de aquellos globos, fue descendiendo progresivamente. En tierra firme le esperaba la policía y una denuncia por violar las leyes federales de la aviación. Después de recurrir a algunos de los cargos, la sanción quedó finalmente en $1,500 y un sueño cumplido. Lo tuyo, Little.
So, in the It Could Only Happen in California department, we have the adventure of Lawrence Richard Walters, forever known after July 2nd, 1982, as Lawn Chair Larry. Larry and his girlfriend, Carol Van Dusen, armed with only a forged requisition form from his employer, Filmfare Studios, went out and purchased 45 weather balloons and helium tanks at California Toy Time Balloons, telling them it was for a commercial they were shooting. They took it all back to San Pedro, where they attached the balloons to a lawn chair and filled them up with helium. Larry strapped himself in, grabbed a parachute, a pellet gun, a CB radio, a camera, and a couple of sandwiches, and off he went. He figures he's gonna take a little ride. They cut the ropes, and within a few minutes, the lawn chair climbs to 16,000 feet. The plan was to use the gun to pop a few balloons and float down nice, you know, from like 50 feet or so. But it climbed too fast. Next thing you know, he's drifting into the primary approach corridor of the Long Beach Airport. So after 2 hours or so of planes zooming around him, below him, above him, he figures, I gotta start shooting these balloons. Which he does, and on his way down, of course, gets caught in the power lines, causing a blackout in Long Beach. He was fined $4,000 by the Federal Aviation Administration for operating a civil aircraft for which there is not currently in effect an airworthiness certificate. And Lawn Chair Larry's not even our Freak of the Week this week, so you can imagine what's coming. As he was hauled away by the LAPD, a reporter asked him why he did it, and he said, a guy can't just sit around.
I'm This is SpongeBob SquarePants. You're with little Steven in the underground garage, and it is Independence Day. Be careful with the fireworks, huh? I'm supposed to have four fingers, but you'll need to keep all five of yours to tune that dial in right here next week. Bah!
Slam, they say that Lawrence traps you. How does he do it? What's the trick?
Well, he has a knack for offering people their secret ambitions. Price is no object.
Oh. Well, my secret ambition has always been to cross the Pacific in a hot air balloon.
In the morning, still sitting in party. world is full of complainers. The fact is, nothing comes with a guarantee. And I don't care if you're the Pope of Rome, President of the United States, or Man of the Year. Something can all go wrong. And go ahead, you know, complain, tell your problems to your neighbor, ask for help, and watch him fly.
You tell lies, thinking I can't see. You can't cry, cause you're laughing at me. I'm down.
Started that tribute to Lawn Chair Larry. And I Want to Take You Higher. Sly and the Family Stone from Frisco. Written and produced by Sylvester Stewart. Down to New Zealand for the La-Di-Da's. And How Is the Air Up There? 1966. Written by Artie Kornfeld and Steve Dubov for their band, The Changing Times. Artie would continue being quite a notable writer and get involved with Woodstock. La-Di-Da is produced by John Hawkins. Rain Dance was Hollis Brown, out of Queens, Don DeLego producing, Jonathan Bonilla, Mike Montali, and Bo Diddley co-writing that one. Cool stuff. Fly High Michelle, the amazing Enough's Enough. Very cool group around in the late 80s and early 90s before some very boring but inevitable drug problems ruined all the fun. And yeah, one of the most exciting of all the Beatle records, B-side of Help, I'm Down, where Lawn Chair Larry eventually ended up, but only temporarily. George Martin producing, and John Lennon playing that wild Vox Continental organ part, which I saw him do live, actually. Sounded just like it. And Lawn Chair Larry came back to Earth for a nice happy ending, and we'll be right back with Chicks in Bikinis.
It's
Estás escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Esta noche el guitarrista de Springsteen nos recordará cuál es el origen de los autocines, una costumbre que se hizo muy popular en Estados Unidos y que se vio reflejada en multitud de películas. Yo, por ejemplo, recuerdo que la primera vez que vi aquel concepto del autocine fue en la película Grease. Aquella genialidad vino de la mano del empresario Richard Hollingshead, a raíz de que su madre le diera la idea diciéndole: ¿no sería genial que pudiéramos ver una película desde el coche? Hollingshead comenzó a probar proyectando películas en la puerta de su propio garaje para ir poco a poco avanzando en sus pruebas con colocar altavoces en el coche para escuchar el sonido de la película, la altura de la pantalla, en fin, toda aquella parte más técnica. Finalmente consiguió abrir el primer autocine un 6 de junio de 1933 en Jersey. En la década de los 50 y 60 se llegó al gran pico de éxito de este tipo de propuestas. Se calcula que en Estados Unidos había alrededor de 4.000 autocines en todo el país. Yo la verdad que me he quedado con las ganas de ir a uno, de momento. Ya veremos si tenemos la oportunidad. Pero que nos lo cuente mejor Little Steven. Dale, maestro.
Welcome back to Summer Underground Garage Style. The Automobile Movie Theater opened June 6, 1933 in where else? Pennsauken, New Jersey. Yet another reason to be proud of New Jersey. In case you were wondering, the first movie was an Adolph Menjou comedy. Richard M. Hollingshead was the man. He invented the drive-in theater for one very practical reason. His mother was too big for the regular theater seats. She said, "Wouldn't it be nice if you could sit in your car and watch a movie?" And like a good boy, he said, "You know what, Ma? I think you're right." So he experimented by showing 16mm films on his garage door, and then a makeshift screen, and occasionally running his lawn sprinkler on it to see how it would look if it rained from his car. I mean, the man was thorough, what can I tell you? He ended up designing a 9-row, 500-space facility with those little hills to tilt the car slightly up, and a 60-foot screen flanked by large loudspeakers designed for him by RCA, who happened to be based in Camden, New Jersey at the time. The studios never gave him a first-run movie because they considered him a threat. They owned all the theaters in those days, which is how the B-movie association with drive-ins thing got started, you know. Anyway, people loved it. It was great for the elderly, the infirm, the overweight. Kids loved it. You could have refreshments or a full-course dinner in the car if you wanted to. And you could smoke, you know, whatever. The only problem was in the winter you had to leave the windows open to hear the sound, but that's nitpicking. Those little individual speakers you hung on the windows, that would be invented a little bit later. Anyway, we need somebody rich or crazy, whatever, to bring drive-ins back. Richard M. Hollingshead, our Freak of the Week, and on behalf of Samuel Arkoff, James Nicholson, Roger Corman, and B-movie producers worldwide, we salute you.
Yeah. For the summertime blues. Oh, it ain't no good.
This is Handsome Dick Manitoba from the Dictators, the world's greatest entertainer for the world's greatest radio show, Little Steven's Underground Garage, saying, cars, girls, surfing, beer, nothing else matters here.
It's 7:05 in the a.m. and it's a wow, 43 degrees on the old Camp North Star weather dial, and that is kind of nippy for a June 25, isn't it? Whew. I'm Trooper Harrison. I'm your head counselor, and this is my wake-up show. I'll be coming at you every morning about this time, hoping to make your summer camp experience the best available in this price range.
Hey, hate the sun. Come on, let's go inside, will you?
What else do you hate?
I hate the ocean, and I hate the beach, and I hate the sun, and the grass, and the trees, and I hate heat.
Revolution, The Fast, first record like 76, so they were very early. So the Boston scene, very, very closely following the New York scene. Anyway, B-Movies, written prophetically for us. One of their later ones, 1980, on Sounds Interesting Records. their best of can be found on Bullseye Records. At bullseyecanada.com. Blue Cheer, arguably the first real heavy metal band, at least a year before Led Zeppelin. Their version of Summertime Blues, the great Eddie Cochran classic, made a hit again, 3-4 years later by The Who. Dickie Peterson, Lee Stevens, Paul Whaley, Blue Cheer. Produced by Abe Kesh from their debut album, Vincibus Eruptum. Huh? Is that the first of all the heavy metal name type things or what? People are still trying to come up with names that good. Hell of a first single, boys. The Dictators, pre-punk, 1975. The link between the New York Dolls and the Ramones. Again, for those of you keeping score, single-handedly really bringing back humor, although the dolls were funny, mostly unintentionally. I'm kidding, that's not true. They were funny to look at, though. As were the Dictators. But then Andy actually wrote funny also. That very much defining the garage genre with that particular song, I Live for Cars and Girls. Nothing much has changed in the Underground Garage since that statement of purpose. Liar was The Shelters, produced by Tom Petty and Chase and Josh from the band and Ryan the Engineer. The album is out now, has two cool songs on it already. That's a good start. Written by guitar player Chase Simpson and the great Garland Jeffries, 35mm Dreams, Ghostwriter, 1977. Produced by the legendary Roy Scala, who Garland found again 35 years later and worked with him on the new album.
Esta noche en el Underground Garage de Little Steven, la canción más chula de la semana viene de la mano de Michael DeBar. Tal vez le recuerdes en su faceta de actor cuando interpretaba a Murdoch, no al del equipo A, sino al gran enemigo que tenía MacGyver. Pues también es músico, y hoy protagoniza la canción más chula de la semana con What's Going On, aquí en Rock FM.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from Buckingham Palace. The dungeon, actually, but the palace nonetheless. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage the Marquis, Michael DeBar. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Gary U.S. Bonds, and you're with me and little Steven. We're in the underground garage, which is a very cool place to be.
Pack up your bags and don't look back. There's a little place out across the railroad tracks. If you're brokenhearted and you don't know what to do, but they got a place down there that's just for you. Close on. She's seen a lot of guys like you coming around.
I've seen tears in her eyes.
Looking for something that they lost, or trying to lose something that they found. Down at Club Soul. If you're lost and you're lonely, you won't be lonely down there.
Oh, no.
You can't miss it, it's just up the highway. On the front door, there's a sign that says,
restricted to the losing kind.
Club Soul.
Boys, I usually stumble. But with you, it's different.
Yeah, well, I'm different.
I'd worry about that, boss.
Eric Von Zappa never worries.
Peachy, I was perfect.
Yes, you were wonderful. Thanks to Eric Von Zappa. And now I'm gonna let you ride with me partner in the Sickle Crisscross Country Race.
You're a little late.
She rides with Ricky. She don't ride with nobody but me.
The best looking woman I ever did see, nor have the charms of the ladies of high society, but the woman's got soul worth all money and gold, and all the love that I have belongs to the woman with soul. Just a regular fella, I don't need much. I don't need a Cadillac car or diamonds and such. but the woman that I hold, she's got to have soul. And then I'm richer than the richest gold if the woman's got soul.
Well, I don't need a woman that's got a whole lot of class, because class in a woman don't mean she's gonna last. I need a kind of woman that when I hold she fits up tight, yeah. Oh, and when she throws it on me, I give in without a fight.
Then I know the woman's got soul, worth all money and gold. And then I'm richer than the richest gold if the woman's got soul.
Most of us use holidays so we can eat more. You know, I normally don't have a burger, a brat, and a steak, but it is 4th of July. And I need the energy if I'm going to start blowing crap up. And that's what the founding fathers would want.
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, What's Going On? From the Marquis of Mischief himself, Michael DeBar. Yes, it is the cover of the Marvin Gaye classic. How's that for a chutzpah? Marvin Gaye wrote it with Al Cleveland and Ronaldo Benson. It's one of the miracles. Michael arranged and produced it, which I guess he should have been doing all along. Because he sounds great on this. Chris Wanzer, having something to do with that, I'm sure. Twiddling the knobs. Michael joined by the legendary Clem Burke on drums from Blondie and Empty Hearts. Paul Ill on bass. Mark Tromalja on guitar. Greg's daughter, Brooklyn Allman, and Charlotte Church on backing vocals. Very well done, Michael. Our coolest song in the world this week, What's Going On? Michael DeBar. We started our soul riff, little mini theme, with Soul Survivor, Rolling Stones from Exile on Main Street. Arguably their best record, arguably the best album ever made. I go with 12 by 5 myself, but that's just me. Jimmy Miller's fourth of the great second era of the Stones. Tragically, Jimmy would go into a downslide of drugs soon after this. I don't remember whether he got credit on Goat's Head Soup or not, but sounds like the drug problems were well underway during that record. And by the way, there's an interesting outtake on the re-release where Keith is doing the vocal, and it's a completely different song, really. Our soul set continued with Club Soul City. Fantastic composition by Bruce Springsteen for Gary U.S. Bond's second album, On the Line. Do you recognize that other voice in there? That's the legendary Chuck Jackson. Still great, the last time I saw him. Woman's Got Soul. Johnny Pate producing Curtis Mayfield and the Gang, but Curtis wrote it. On their People Get Ready album of 1965, and a hell of an album that is, for ABC. And Bruce Springsteen himself, with his merry band of cutthroats and roustabouts, otherwise known as the E Street Band, with the living half of the Soul Man team, Sam Moore. He lost Dave Prater some years ago. Written by the great Isaac Hayes and David Porter. Isaac Hayes, a great writer and producer before he became Black Moses, and invented single-handedly bling. That live version from the 25th anniversary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concerts, which is actually available.
Esta noche en el Underground Garage te prometí que hablaríamos de los artilugios más icónicos que decoran el estudio de Little Steven. Pues bien, me refiero a la lámpara de lava. No sé si a lo mejor tienes alguna en casa, pero sí, familia, el invento corrió a cargo del señor Edward Craven Walker en 1963, quien dos años después lo presentó en la Feria de Muestras de Hamburgo, donde recibió la atención del empresario Adolf Wertheimer. A partir de ahí pasó a producirse en masa bajo el nombre de Lava Light. Básicamente se trata de una lámpara con una bombilla, agua teñida y cera traslúcida. Algunos cables y demás, pero bueno, básicamente pues es esto. Pero a ver, Little, ¿tú qué dices tener una? Cuéntanos un poquito de qué va la historia.
Our freak of the week, and I still can't believe he doesn't come from California, but rumor has it that Edward Craven Walker was a British expatriate born in Singapore, flew some recon missions with the RAF in World War II. After the war, he moves into a trailer behind a pub in London. One night at the pub, you know, there's nobody there, it's a quiet night, he noticed an old lamp in the corner. So he, he's got nothing to do. He goes and takes a closer look. It was a glass cocktail shaker filled with oil and water and heated by a light bulb at the base. He can't stop looking at this thing, totally mesmerized by it. So he actually buys it, takes it home, and starts experimenting with different types of paraffin, different oils, this and that. Next thing you know, he invents the lava lamp. Now the problem is, it's 1963. It's a little early for psychedelia, but he gets it into the Prisoner TV series. He gets it into a James Bond film or two, and before you know it, it's 1967, the whole world gets stoned, and he sells 7 million lamps. But he didn't care about the lamp. He just used it to support his habit, his obsession, his real passion, which was nudism. All he wanted to do was hang out in the south of France, naked on a beach. So he sells his lava lamp patent in the 70s, figuring, you know, the whole fascination with the thing was over. Big mistake. But he'd made enough to live happily and finance a few nudist documentaries.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
A few of which were very successful. When asked about his feelings regarding the lamp, he said, "It's like the cycle of life. It grows, goes to the top, starts breaking up, falls down, and starts all over again."
Call public safety.
Do you want me to get naked and start the revolution?
Get all stars now. Get up in the morning, drag myself out of bed. I got nothing but misery. Running through my head, but it all starts now. I'm free. I'm free.
baby, I feel good from the moment I arrive. Feel good from morning to the end of the day, to the end of the day. Yeah, you and me, we live this life. When we get up to the ghost of night, you and me, we're free. We do as we please. Yeah, from morning till the end of the day, till the end of the day. Yeah, I get up and I see the sun.
Relaxation of summer vacation. We accept without question the thrill of water sports. We plant our gardens and nourish the flowers. And if rain interferes with our personal plans for pleasure, we're unhappy about it.
We'll be right back. this is Bob Mosley of Moby Grape, and you're listening to the coolest rock songs ever recorded with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Would you let me walk down your street naked if I want to? Can I pop fireworks? Can I buy an amplifier on time? I ain't got no money now, but I will pay you before I die. We
started that set dedicated to Eddie Walker, father of the Lava Lamp, with 21-year-old Claudine Clark's Party Lights, which rumor has it, she not only wrote, but produced. If anybody knows anything about this, please write to us. We cannot find anything about Claudine Clark. But if she wrote and produced that record at the age of 21 in 1962, that's big news. Very unusual for any young person to be that good, first of all, but maybe the first successful female producer. And then what happened, never heard from again, right? Totally bizarre. We're looking around, but we're not finding much, so anybody who knows anything about this, please write to us at mail@undergroundgarage.com. I'm Free, the 4019s, the band wrote it, and bass player David Newton produced it. Till the End of the Day was the Kinks from their third fantastic album in a row, Kinks Controversy, written by Ray Davis and produced by Shel Talmy. Brother Dave, lead guitar, Peter Quaife on bass, and Mick Avery on drums. Played drums with the Stones for a minute. Degeneration with Mercy of the Rain from their reunion record, Nothing Is Anywhere. Get it from degeneration.us. And we close our tribute to Edward Walker. Naked If I Want To, Moby Grape, to the visionary who purchased as many nudist colonies as he could afford. Why? Because he could.
I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke. Or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool. Andy Babuke's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests, and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows. Or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Go back to Jersey, you moron!
's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, hemos llegado al final del Underground Garage de esta noche aquí en Rock FM. Hemos repasado el origen de los autocines y también recordado a aquel pionero de los cielos que decidió volar en su silla mecedora atada a unos globos rellenos de helio. El señor Larry Walters, California, 1982. Es cierto que además luego hubo una serie de personas que decidieron emular lo que hizo Larry Walters. Pero bueno, yo espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen rato de radio aquí en Rock FM. Yo soy Carlos Medina y si te apetece, nos encontramos el domingo que viene en el show de Little Steven. Hasta entonces, por supuesto, feliz semana. Buenas noches.